Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. One more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless you. This is one of the few times that we can gather both services together in one service, the 8 o'clock crowd and the 11 o'clock crowd. And do this for me. All of you who are normally 8 o'clock attendees, would you please stand up? Let me just see who you are. All of my 8 o'clock attendees. Isn't that a blessing? Give the Lord a praise offering for that. So that's kind of shallow part A. And then all of you 11 o'clock attendees, stand up. Let me see who you are. All right, this is shallow part B. And it's not too many times we get shallow A and B together on the same Sunday at one service. So bless the Lord for all of you today. And we praise God because we are one church, right? Two services, one church. And I need the 8 o'clock folk to know who the 11 o'clock folk are. 11 o'clock folk know who the 8 o'clock folk are. Amen. Have our students arrived yet, Carolyn? All right. Well, we're praying for them. I think they're going to have lunch anyway during service. So by the end of the service, we'll check again. Stand up to your feet if you would not mind and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We're going to continue where we left off last night in the meaning of true religion. The meaning of true religion, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 14. The meaning of true religion. How many of you were able to join us last night for our watch night services? Bless the Lord. Then you've heard part A, part 1 to this sermon already. So say amen. You've located the text, Isaiah 58. The Bible reads as follows, starting in verse number 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Go to verse number 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of the sermon, as I've already stated, the meaning of religion, the meaning of true religion, part number 2, the meaning of true religion. Part number 2. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may your words not return void, but may they illuminate minds, may they encourage hearts, may they convict somebody's soul, we pray. I thank you for what we've already heard, seen, felt, witnessed, and experienced in worship here today. I thank you for the songs of Zion. Indeed, you inhabit our praises. I thank you for the effectual fervency of prayer, for you said it availeth much. And now, dear Lord, for the preaching and proclamation of the good news, the euangelion, the word from on high. Prepare our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits to receive that which you are to give to us. Give us eyes to see it, ears to hear it, hearts to receive it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost, have your way. Resonate, percolate, reverberate in this place, that the people of God may be drawn closer nigh unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated. I'm not going to take a long time today to set the context of today's sermon. The majority of you were here last night. You heard me preach about this text, gave you some context that the book of Isaiah is a powerful book of prophecy. It reflects the structure of the Bible itself in 66 books and 66 chapters, and the breakdown of Old and New Testament is reflected in the book of Isaiah. We see that in the text. Isaiah chapter 58 comes at a time when the nation of Israel is being purged of their ways. Comes at a time when God is speaking to the nation about their transgressions, their faults, their frailties, and their fallibilities. But he doesn't leave them without a word of hope. For as parents used to do of old, right? They tell you something good before they tell you something bad. I'll tell you it's going to hurt me as much as it's going to hurt you. And so this reality of how God cleanses his people, purges his people, prophesies to his people is laid out clearly in the book of Isaiah. It is a difference between what we see in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah and in the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah. It reflects the grace and mercy and balance that we see in the Bible itself. And yet we come to this text, and I believe this text has relevance for what God is calling us to do and to be in 2012. God is calling us to be more than we were in 2011. And so as last night I broke down this text, talked about kind of the goals of true religion and the results of true religion and the conditions of true religion. Today I'm going to use the same text, but I'm going to break it down in a different kind of way, in that we're going to look at this text in four different parts. We'll look first at the goals of true religion, as I stated them last night. But then I want to talk about the three if-then statements, the three conditional statements that we see in the text, the three statements of conditionality that we see in the text. And so let me quickly set that stage, that the goals of true religion before I get to those goals, let me remind you of what the book of James says. And you can pull read this last night, right? That true and undefiled religion, verse number 20. Give me that one back for a minute. I like that one. Just keep that one on tie until it goes. I'm praying the Lord keep it until it goes. Amen. If it goes, throw it to me. I'll catch it. Amen. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows and to keep oneself unspotted before the world. Here's the point I want to make about that text that I believe is relevant for this text. That text, if you put that screen back up, right, it has two components. It has kind of the social responsibility component, that we are to visit orphans and to visit widows, right? That's a pure kind of social responsibility component, that ours is to be engaged with the less fortunate. Let me be real clear and say that again, that ours is to be engaged with the less fortunate. Those who are economically vulnerable, as orphans are, if they don't have parents, they are economically vulnerable. If they are widows, they are economically vulnerable. Ours, as the body of believers, this in the Old Testament, it was the Jews, our Jewish brothers and sisters. In the New Testament is the body of believers that follow Jesus Christ. Pure and undefiled religion is that you don't forget those who are economically vulnerable amongst you. We have a responsibility, Shiloh, to the community in which we sit, to assist those who are economically vulnerable. They're not all orphans and they're not all widows. I believe that there is a specificity and a generality about the statement. The specificity is take care of those who don't have parents, right? Hence my real belief in the role of churches playing active roles in foster children's lives, displaced children's lives, adopted children's lives. Pure and undefiled religion is that you don't forget the orphans. The Bible calls the orphans fatherless and motherless, right? I wasn't fatherless and motherless. Didn't know daddy for a while. Mother was absent. She died early. I at least had some knowledge of them. But there's some children who will never know their mothers and their fathers. They either died before they came of age or they were given away before their age of consciousness. And yet we thank the Lord that some other mamas and daddies adopted them into their families. And so they do have earthly mothers and fathers. But I want to absolutely tie this in. Pure and undefiled religion is taking care of widows and orphans. And I then generalize that to the economically vulnerable. It's there. It's in the text. Unless we think we drive nice Mercedes and Benzes and these and that's and wear our furs and our hats and we come to Shiloh and we're afraid of the economically vulnerable that is around us, then you're not practicing true and undefiled religion. For if you are blessed to have it, then you ought to be a blessing to those who don't have as much as you have. Pure and undefiled religion. You're going to hear me hammer this theme home in 2012 because I have some officers and I have some members who think that Shiloh is not to be a blessing to those who are economically vulnerable around us. That somehow that's not in the mission of our church. And I'm here to remind you that it is squarely within the mission of our church. But the second part of that, put James back up there. But the second part of that is that it also has an internal challenge, right? And to keep yourself unspotted before the world. So there is both the social responsibility and the internal responsibility about how I live my life in reference and relationship to the Lord Jesus. Forget about doing the social responsibility if you don't have the vertical relationship with God. Because everything you do, if it's not connected to the Lord, is for mere fashion and for show. The social responsibility flows out of your internal responsibility to keep yourself right before the Lord Maker of heaven and earth. So there is a dynamic tension between the external and the internal. There is a dynamic tension between the spiritual and the tangible. There is a dynamic tension between what we do in the church and what we do outside of the church. Because some folk outside of the church will say, why would I come inside of the church if y'all act like that inside? I can get that outside and I have far less headaches. Because it's not clothed in the cloak of religiosity. It is what it is on the outside. And so there is this dynamic tension. And that same tension is in Isaiah's text. For if you go to the goals of true religion in verse number 6 and verse number 7. I want to highlight this for you because you're going to hear me drive this home, right? Verse number 6. Go to the verse number 6 and verse number 7. The first under goals. The first verse under goals of true religion, is this not the fast to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Those are essentially spiritual precepts and principles and tangibles, right? That we want to release those who are captive. We want folk who are bound up to be free. That's what Pastor Soares is talking about. Those who are bound up in debt, those who are bound up in mental disorder, those who are bound up in other types of emotionality. We want you to be free of your bondage, whatever the bondage might be, that an essential spiritual quality, again, the dynamic tension is that God wants us to be free. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting, it's such a blessing. Deacon G sings it well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to say, Lord, I thank you that I don't have to dance for nobody. I don't have to scratch where it don't itch. I don't have to smile when the joke isn't funny. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. When you're free, you don't have to sell your soul and compromise yourself. You can stand on the principles of Almighty God because you're not indebted to anybody but God when you're free. But I know some folk who are not free. See, they do laugh at stuff that's not funny. They do scratch where they're not itching. They dance when the music starts playing. Because they think to compromise themselves is to get advancement in the world. God is looking for folk who will stand on principle. Regardless of what people say about you. You're not here to make friends. Dale Carnegie and have folk look like you. You're here to be a saint of the Most High God and speak the truth to power and tell what thus said the Lord. That is our call.
If they fire you, God will give you another job. If they demote you, God will elevate you. That there is a dynamic tension between that which is spiritual. Put that back up. And then go to verse number 7. Right? The next piece of this, go to the next verse, number 7. Is it not, again, true fasting, true religion, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Is it not to bring your into your house the poor who are cast out? So don't shout on the front part if you're not going to shout on the second part. There is a dynamic tension between that which is spiritual and that which is in the natural. We have a responsibility to come in here and shout and to praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. But when we go out there, we got to help somebody. As we travel along, cheer somebody with a word or a song. Show somebody that they're traveling wrong. Then our living is not in vain. Otherwise, you're doing like the hypocrites, saying you love Jesus, but you hate your neighbor. Saying you love coming to church, but you don't want to give anything to the hungry. Saying you love the Lord, but you don't want to help anybody that's less fortunate. Clutching your purses, holding your wallets, squeezing your furs, because you think somebody's going to take it from you. If the Lord gave it, he'll give it to you more. And I'm going to push us on this dynamic tension between our social responsibility and our spiritual responsibility inside of the house of God. Three things, and I'll go to my seat. Three conditions he states in the text. He says in verse number 7b, when, and although this one isn't an if-then statement, I'm going to liken it to a conditional statement. When then, as opposed to an if then, right? When then you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Look at the power of that. Folk who look like you and supposed to be of you, and you hide yourself from them. I'm not just talking about racial ethnicity. I'm talking about folk of whatever. You think that you don't have responsibility to your brother. And God is saying, when you do this, when you don't do this to those who are in need, then the Bible says, or when you do, then the Bible says, then there is a corresponding reality. Then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Do you see the connection between the conditionality? Go back to the first screen. When you do these things, when you see the naked and you cover him and not hide yourself, right? Then your light will break forth. It is conditional. Don't expect your light to break forth if you hide yourself from the naked. Some of us are compromising our blessings because we don't want to do what God has called us to do. Go to the next condition. Number two. In verse number 8, we'll go to the next condition in verse number 10. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, right? If you do this, then in verse, the latter part of 10, it says, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. I called that illumination last night. Then there's a second one. Then the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul, your drought, and strengthen your bones. But God will only do that if you extend your soul to the hungry. If you don't, then don't expect God to satisfy your drought and strengthen your bones. Don't expect God to guide you continually. And if he does it, he's doing it on grace. And you better thank him for everything, every bit of grace that you can get. The third one is found in verse number 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Let me break that down for some of y'all. If you want to go golf before you come to church, or not before, I'm all right with that. Instead of coming to church, if you want to go shopping and Macy's and DSW. I just recently learned what DSW meant. What is it? Downgraded shoe warehouse? Discounted shoe warehouse. What is it? Designer shoe warehouse. I'm scratching my head. Why are these ladies going to DSW, but it means discounted shoe warehouse? Designer, that makes more sense to me now, Betty. When you want to do your own thing, right, as opposed to do God's thing, don't expect. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, look at that now, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on high heels. Let me help you understand the power of the text. Now the power of the text is this, that there are tangible things of helping the hungry and feeding the poor and getting to those who are downtrodden, but there's also the spiritual reality of honoring God and honoring the Sabbath and putting God first in your life. For I'm a believer that you can't do the outside if you don't do the inside. In order for me to be the best community servant I can be, in order for me to be the best grassroots community activist I can be, in order for me to be the best civil servant I can be, I've got to be the best servant of God that I can be. Because when I go out there, I've got to know how to reflect the glory of the Lord. When I go to help my brother and my sister, I got to help them understand that I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this because of the God in me. When I go out there and I serve my community, I gotta let them know that I'm not letting my light shine. I'm letting the light of God shine within me. In order to do that, I've gotta have a relationship. I gotta be in communion. I gotta know who God is and what God has called me to do. I gotta know that God will supply my needs according to his riches. I gotta know I don't have to sell my soul in order to get advancement in this world. I gotta know that when I stand for the Lord, he's gonna stand for me. I gotta know that greater is the God that is inside of me than the devil that's in the world. Come on, somebody. Because when I know that, then I can be the best community agent I can be. I can be the best change agent I can be. I can be the best elected official that I can be. I can be the best government appointee I can be. When I delight myself in the Sabbath, when I robe myself in the things of God, when I honor the holy days of God, when I do what Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and know that all other things shall be added unto me. When I put God first, God will always provide for me. I'm a living witness. Start off with nothing, but God has brought me a mighty long way. Not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so good looking, not because I'm so educated, only because I dared to put the Lord before me. I dared to put God number one in my life. So there is a dynamic tension. I'm not saying I'm the best practitioner of true religion, but God has given me the ability to subject my flesh in order that I might do the will that he's called me to do. I get tired sometimes. I get frustrated sometimes. I get angry sometimes. But I got to bite my lip, grip my teeth and hold my tongue, because I got my witness is more important to me than me getting temporary satisfaction and blessing somebody out. My witness. What has God called us to do? Who has God called us to be? But true practitioners of his faith. That really is at the root of what Isaiah is talking about. True religion. Is this not the fast I called you? to loose those who are bound up, to let the captives go free. Too many of us are bound up in here and outside of here. But I need some free folk. Folk who show enough know the devil doesn't have control of you or your family or your life. That when the devil gets busy, God gets busier. Let me throw a little caveat. The caveat is, I don't want you to hear me wrong, that there's a work mentality. If I do this, then I should expect these. No, no, that's not how it goes. You don't work for the Lord to get blessed. You work for the Lord because you're already blessed. You work because you're already blessed. If he doesn't do another thing for you, he's already done enough. Give you food to eat and clothes to wear and a roof over your head. And those you didn't have a job, you got a job now. May not be the job you want, but at least you can make ends meet until he elevates you a little bit higher. Start thanking the Lord for what he's done and stop blaming him for what he's not done. Start looking at the glass as half full and stop looking at it as half empty. Know that the Lord, he is God, and above him there is no other. True religion, it intimates a stewardship over resources, doesn't it? Because in order for me to help the hungry, I gotta be intentional about my resources, resource allocation, resource management. I need to get out of debt, not only financial indebtedness, but spiritual indebtedness. You should be free. He died to set you free. That's what I'm calling us to do in 2012. To be true practitioners or practitioners to the best of our ability. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. My goodness. My wife reminds me of that almost every day. She still loves me though. Right? None of us perfect. But we all are pushing to be who God wants us to be. In the name of Jesus. So I'm not going to holler anymore. I'm not going to spit in the mic anymore. That's all I got to say. That's what we're going to do going into 2012. Do I have a witness today? Do I have a witness today? Do I have a witness today? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a praise offering. Deacons and deaconess, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We're going to extend the invitation to someone who doesn't know the Lord for themselves. This is your day. This is your day. I want you to remember Isaiah 58. It's going to be a key text for us going forward. This is your day. This is your day. But you can't do the external until you do the internal. You can't get the social right until you get the personal right. Don't worry about membership until you have relationship. And so if you're here today, I want you to step out of your seat and give us your hand and give God your heart. Some of you have been visiting for many years, and look at God today. I got somebody coming. I got a brother coming. Look at the Lord. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Isn't that something? Wonderful, 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 wonderful.